Welcome to the Screw the Clout. I'm your host, Steve Stanulis. Each week, we're going to have amazing guests share their stories of saying, screw it. Tune in each week. This is Screw the Clout. Welcome to another episode of Screw the Clout. My name is Steve Stanulis, and we have yet another amazing guest today. She's an actress, musician, an influencer, the whole gamut. Let's hear it from Miss Shay Smolik.
Yeah, I'm excited for this podcast, and I'm excited to get started.
Yeah, no, and like I said, we're excited to have you on. You know, we were bummed last week. I know you were a little, you know, under the weather. So, you know, all good things come to those who wait.
Yes.
So again, you know, looking at you and your past, I mean, a lot of the listeners here that we get are entrepreneurs, a lot of industry people. So you kind of started in this industry as a child actor. Right. So what was that like for you? And before we even get into that, what got you into the whole acting world? What was your.
Yeah. So I've always been, I started at the age of 6 or 7. I don't really remember because I was so young, but I've always been super, super, super outgoing. And like, you know, I'd always be playing pretend. And I literally would film vlogs on my mom's phone. There's hours and hours of me vlogging on my mom's phone to the point where she had no storage. So she's like, okay, I need to do something with this kid. So I actually first started off modeling with a little tiny agency in Iowa called the Peak Agency. And I would do, you know, local things. Like there's a Mediacom truck with my face on it, which is like internet service.
Sure.
And then I did commercials. And when I started doing commercials, I realized that that was kind of my passion. And then I started looking into more child actors at the age of around, I would say, 8. And, obviously, in Iowa, it's not a very big film state. There's nothing really going on there. So my agent first sent me to Chicago. Now, Chicago, I have an agency in Chicago, but that is for print work and modeling because they don't do a lot of film work. So my Chicago agent then sent me out to LA. So I said, screw it. Me and my mother both said, screw it. Let's go to California. So I lived there for about 9 months out of the year. I would come home in the summer. At this point, I think it was around 9 when I first started doing this. My brothers, my whole family would stay back home. And we would get a little apartment there. And I was literally there for like 9 months for 4 years. Wow. So I did that until COVID hit.
So that's crazy because now you're like 8, 9 years old. You
right.
Uprooted yourself from Iowa.
Yep.
And, you know, you go to Chicago and it's like, nope, sorry, you got to go to L.A., so, I mean, again, how is that? I mean, with school, friends, how is that? I mean, what does that look like?
I think as a 7, 8, 9-year-old, it was obviously very scary for me because I'm so used to going to school and, you know, having all my friends here and having my friends come over for sleepovers. And then when you kind of uproot your life to follow your dream, it can be very scary, especially because when you are so young, you really don't know what's going to happen. We didn't know what was going to happen. I knew I had the talent to do it, but also sometimes that doesn't do it. And it's more who you know. And obviously going into California, I didn't know anyone. So that, I mean, for both me and my mom, it was scary. But for me, it was scary in the fact that I was literally uprooting my entire life. None of my friends, obviously at 8, none of my friends are knowing what's actually going on or why I'm not there for 9 months, aside from Shay lives in California now for whatever reason. They don't understand the acting world. So it was very scary at first, but then I got used to it and I realized that, hey, I can go home whenever I want. And I was homeschooled for like 5 years. And then when high school hit, that's when COVID hit as well. So 8th grade year is kind of when my COVID hit. And then freshman year, I did move back to Iowa and went to high school. So I did get a high school experience and then I graduated early.
Iowa, first of all, to Chicago is got to be, like, you know, awestruck because,
right.
You know, because I mean, and Chicago is nowhere near New York as far as, but I mean, but again, going from one to there and then going over there with the whole mentality and the whole, I mean, I love LA to visit. I don't like going there.
There's a different story. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, you were probably too young, but, you know, the phoniness and all that stuff. You know, that's a little tough. But when you go back, are you like, wow, you know, like, oh, my God, you know, his Shay's back. I mean, is it like a big deal? Because that's not something that people do in Iowa, right? And you're probably in small town, and now Shay's back from LA from acting, and how does that go?
Yeah, so when I would come back and like see my friends, or when I came back for my freshman year of high school, it was basically just loading on questions like, what'd you do? How was it? Who did you
Right.
meet? How many famous people have you met? Because none of them understand that, because I literally went to a school with 50 people in my class.
Right, of
So it's a
course.
very, very small town. And I mean, I think the last person to do what I was doing was Ashton Kutcher. Like, there's not a lot of, you don't see a lot of fame or people doing acting and singing and modeling come out of Iowa. So yes, I think they were a little, I don't want to say starstruck, because I'm not a star in any way, shape, or form, but it was very weird to them, and they did kind of
Right.
treat me like it was weird
Well, you are a star in a way to them
to them,
because
right?
you're not the norm. You're breaking out of the norm. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was a little starstruck, but and then they started treating me like I was different, because I was, for someone who was this young and to do that stuff, I am different, and I do have kind of a different mentality from the people who are in my hometown just going to school. I'm very hardworking and, strong-willed to get my dreams. So I don't think they really understood that either. It's like, why do you have to do this? Why can't you just be normal in a sense? And that's kind of what they were thinking about me, like, just be a normal kid. And
Right.
obviously I wasn't, and I wanted to follow my dream, and I've always had a passion for it, so I was going to do it anyway.
So you get out of high school, right? You graduate high school, you get the high school experience. What's the next transition?
Yeah, so I went to a small school for my freshman year, and then I transferred over to a bigger Catholic private school. It was like a 5A school. And then I actually like stopped going to that school, went online for a summer, and that's when I graduated early. And then I had the opportunity to work at a law firm, and I've kind of always wanted to be a lawyer as well. So I started working in a law firm as an intern, and that was for a year, like the entire year, basically my senior year, I was working at a law firm. And then I decided, I mean, I know a lot of people do what I do, either don't go to college or they go to a film school. I didn't want to do that, just because I want to have, if say acting doesn't work out for me or singing or modeling, I want to have a fallback plan. And obviously going to a big college like ASU is going to help me achieve that. They also have a really good law school here. So that's what I'm doing right now. It's been great so far. I love ASU and I love Arizona.
Screw the cloud, really, the whole part of screw the cloud, and what it really means is obviously it's when you could go down a road, right? And you could go left, and or you said screw it, you went right, and it changed the whole trajectory of you where you are today. What would you say, starting the whole child acting thing, what would you say was the most challenging? And or what was the biggest misconception for you and for people?
Yeah, I would say one of the most challenging things is the amount of rejection that comes from it, not only from producers and directors, but also from your friends. I had a lot of friends not be friends with me anymore because of jealousy, or because, I mean, it was just when something is so different and so new and someone has something that you don't, there's a lot of jealousy aspects, especially when you're in a small town like me. I knew immediately when I went back to school, it was completely different. And I know I didn't mention this before, but the amount of rude things that were said to me, the amount of jealousy
Course,
that was,
haters.
right, literal haters. And at that point, as someone who's so young, I was taking it to heart, and I was like, do I even want to do this anymore? Because I don't want these. It was to the point where I was crying in bed at night because of the things these people were saying. So it kind of made me take a step back a little, and then I was like, wait, why would I ever let public opinion ever sway me from going down my path? And I obviously had long talks with my parents, and they're like, dude, you know when your parents say they're just jealous and you can't believe them, right? Because like, I'm a normal girl. I'm there. Like, I'm one thing about me is that I never really talked about it when I was in Iowa. I never talked about what I was doing because I did want to feel normal when I was in Iowa. But when you still get that hate, it does make it extremely challenging to keep going, especially at that young age, because that's all you're thinking about and it's running through your head 24/7. Obviously we got past that, but I think the biggest thing for me is people are going to hate no matter what you do. And that's just how life goes. People are going
That's
to be
right.
jealous. People are literally, everyone has an opinion. You can like that opinion or you don't. You just can't take that opinion to heart, and you just have to keep pushing. If you have a dream, you're going to go get it, whether people are saying stuff about you or not.
And you know what's funny about that? Because like I said, I'm from the film industry, and I came from a whole different world prior. I was a police officer at one point in my life, and all these different things changed. I started hanging out with DiCaprio, and again, crazy Forrest Gumpian type of life myself.
Right.
But the one thing I found out is as time went on, right, the more people that talk shit, no matter what, whatever field you're in, whether you're acting, producing, directing, singing, model, whatever, are always the ones when you do something and you're at a red carpet and whatever, are always the first ones to go like this. I knew you could do it. I always, and you know what? It's a great form of satisfaction if you have that radar,
Right.
A, and B, there's no other field like the entertainment field that people, are so envious because they see you doing something, even on social media, they see you doing something and you're being successful at whatever you're doing. They take the mentality, instead of saying good for Shay, she's showing that anybody, she came from my town and, I can do it too. They're always like, why can't that be me? Why Shay? Not realizing they see the flower, right? But nothing that was under the dirt that fucking got you to that point to make this happen, right? So, yeah. And again, as somebody at your age, not your age now, but when that was happening, I mean, everything, when people talk like that, whatever, I mean, again, my daughter's 12. And sometimes somebody says something about it, with the way her hair looks. I mean, it's a devastating day. The day she comes home, she's devastated in her room. And so, somebody like yourself, God knows what they were saying. So at that age, to rationalize that is a lot tougher, right? So I mean, good for you. I mean, that's awesome,
It
So
definitely wasn't easy, but it definitely got me to the point where I am today and like my tough skin. And obviously, acting comes with a lot of rejection, and I don't take that as hard now because of everything and all the haters. And so I think it was a blessing in disguise. You don't know that when you're so young, but it
no.
does literally make you so tough. And now anyone could say anything to me, and it just goes right over my head, and I don't listen to it, and I'm okay. So I'm actually grateful for the people that were doing that.
The top singer. Anyway, I mean, not to go back in time, but I mean, Elvis Presley was rejected about 20 times, laughed at. I mean, you show me Brad Pitt, I'll show you a guy that was rejected 20, 30, 40, 50 times before he got his break. Anyone, Taylor Swift, again. So again, you have. It's always you're always getting rejected 100 times more than you, but all you need is the one, right?
One,
So
just one. It takes one.
one. So like I said, again, and now you're smart, right? You're a beautiful girl. You got the blonde hair, the blue eye thing, the whole Iowa look going. So again, you throw that with talent, again, that's gonna happen. But so going back to quickly, when you're a child actor, right? What was your first set experience like?
Honestly, from what I remember, because it was so long, it was a Tide commercial, a National Tide commercial. And I remember it like, I mean, I basically remember it like it was yesterday because there was so much nerve and excitement going into it. And obviously, your first big thing, you were l so nervous. And I think I was around 7 or 8. And it was just a commercial, whatever. But Caliber, because I had been doing little commercials for like local grocery stores or whatever, but when I walked in to set and I saw craft services and I saw hair and makeup and then I saw the trailers, it was like a whole new world. And to me, it was a little overwhelming at that point because I was like, wow, this is actually real. This is happening. Like, I booked this. What happens when I book my own or when I book a movie or a TV show if this is just a commercial? But obviously, everyone, when you're young, everyone's kind of catering to you because they're trying to make you feel comfortable in this environment. So from what I remember, it was a very fun experience. And I remember after that, I got my first phone. Or no, it was before that. I got my first phone and I was just recording everything because I thought it was so cool. And I was going to show my best friend at home, like, look what I'm doing. It was genuinely a great experience. And that's something I'll hold with me forever because, I mean, that's your first ever thing and it's awesome. And it's super cool as an 8-year-old to be on a National Tide commercial, whether it is just a commercial or not.
Even before then, when you're doing your first thing, right? Do you realize all of the behind the scenes stuff that goes on? Or did you just think like, hey, I'm here, I'm gonna say my two line, whatever happened, whatever you said on the first commercial, and then you leave. Did you realize that it was so much, all right, do it again, repetitive, back to one, blah, blah, blah. Did you know all that stuff? Were you ready for that? Or was that a shocker?
I
Or you were
definitely
kind of
wasn't ready
prepared?
for it. I went in like thinking I'll film it once and then leave. Like I thought it was like a 30-minute thing. And then you get there and you see all these people working on set and you're like, oh, this is a lot bigger than I thought. This was, I think, a Fairway commercial, which is an Iowa grocery store. I think that was the first actual thing I did that wasn't in LA. And yeah, I just kind of stood in my spot, did what I was supposed to do, and then I would go eat. What were they? Nutella breadsticks. Those were my thing. So I would go eat Nutella breadsticks. My mom and my brothers were on set with me for some reason at that point. And then I would go back and do it. And I never really understood what was actually going on because obviously I'm 6 or 7. So no, I was just kind of having fun with it. Like I'm filming in a grocery store. I thought it was cool that I was in an empty grocery store with just a bunch of random people with big cameras. Like, I mean, when you're young, you don't really understand that stuff and you don't know why there's so many people. Like, what is this mic above my head? I didn't know it was a mic. It just looked like a fuzzy thing. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's great. Now, and so what would your advice be to somebody who's now breaking in as somebody as young as you did? What would you tell the parent, and what would you tell the kid? Or say, let's go a little older because you were really young to understand. So if you were talking to a 12-year-old that says, "Shay, I really want to do this for a living. This is my passion." What would you tell them and the parent?
To start off with a parent, I would say some parents are extremely overbearing and like, you have to do this, you have to do that. My parents were not like that at all. Hey, Shay, if you want to do this, there's an opportunity. It's up to you, but I want you to have fun with it and I want you to want to do it. If you're forcing your kid to do something, it's one, the product isn't going to turn out the way you want it to or the way the producers and directors want it to. And your child is going to not like you anymore, from what I've seen from parents like that. So just don't be overbearing and don't push them to the point where they kind of want to fail so that they don't have to do it. I've seen that happen a lot in this industry. And if you're 12 and you're going into it, one, enjoy it while you can. It all goes by so fast and you never know when your last job is going to be or how long it's going to be till your next job. So enjoy it. And once you start enjoying it, you're going to have a lot more fun and it's going to be a lot easier to act or to model because you are loose. You have to go in there with the mindset that I'm going to have fun, or else you're going to be really stiff. You're not going to act well. You're not going to be able to step into that character's shoes as well because you are thinking about all the possible negative outcomes. When you go in and you think positively and you're thinking about all the fun things and you're talking to all your cast and crew members, it makes it 10 times easier because you are so loose going into it.
That was great. I mean, I guess that's great advice for everybody listening out there. So, if I can, was a genie and I could grant you one thing right now, right? And I say, if I said I could make you the biggest criminal defense attorney, I will just use that. And, in Walsh, in Park Avenue, you become a series regular on a show. A series regular, recognizable, but not like,
Right.
again, I don't know, whoever right now. You could be a pop singer or one of the top models in the world, runway models. What would you choose?
I mean, obviously you want to go with the top, but for me, it's always been about building yourself up. So it would be the series regular because once you get shown in a series regular and then you start auditioning for other things, you are recognized by casting directors and then you can move your way up.
And I that's 100% what I thought you were going to say. The last answer I thought you were going to throw me a curveball and say the attorney, the high-powered attorney, but that would have been my curveball. That's what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say model last, and maybe just sing or third. So
Yeah,
I
it
thought it
would
was
have been.
series regular, attorney, singer, model.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, once you get that bug, it's tough to
Yeah.
lose, right? So you actually
Right.
have a really good following too on social. How important do you think that is in what you're doing?
I think nowadays, following for to be in television is actually very important. There's like now when you like say you're on Actress Access and you're submitting yourself for a role, sometimes they will ask you for your following count.
As somebody who's directed films, I produced, sometimes when I'm not familiar with the actress, when they come in for an audition, and it is two, that are perfect, and I don't know which one I want, the second question is, see what their social media following is.
Right.
And that's how it's decided.
No, and that makes sense to me because I mean, some people it doesn't make sense to, but to me it does because you have so much pull when you have, say, if I were to have 500,000 followers on Instagram and I posted that I was going to be in a movie, most people are going to go and watch that movies if they're truly supporters of me. So to me it makes sense because you're getting that movie out to 500,000 people. That's 500,000 people potentially watching your movie plus more. So like I agree with it. Obviously, it's hard to build up your following. I've been building my following since I was 7. So it is hard to get there, but obviously nowadays it's not hard to like blow up on TikTok and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's very not very important. Obviously, if you have the talent and your talent is there, then you're probably going to be picked over someone else who has following. But yeah, I think it makes sense to me that following
No,
is
I
the
mean it's 100% the way it's done because, like you just said, if I could cachet over the brunette who I like as well, that I'm not familiar with, and I know if I tell Shay, do me a favor, obviously when you're on set, do some BTS, or at the end, we're going and ready to get released, obviously put it out there. That's totally the way studios think. That works everyone. So I mean, it's crazy. And the last thing I want to ask, because you are in that age, so I'm a little, I'm again, I'm 50, so I'm a little different. I'm just at the edge where we still, so it's super important. If I was 10 years older, people just do Facebook. They're lucky if they could do emails. So I caught this tail end of my life, the last part of it, where social media still means a lot. But somebody that's your age, how, I don't want to say annoying because it annoys me, but how do you feel that, like, again, you hone your craft, you're going to school, you're doing all this stuff, and somebody could just, create some stupid dance that's not even good. Just, it just whatever, it catches on and they can blow up and changes the whole trajectory of where they are in one day, while you're putting in the time and the work. What do
Yeah,
you
I
what's
think
your thoughts?
obviously it's a little diminishing when I've been working so hard almost my entire life to do stuff like this and to grow my following just to be in the acting world and to be known. And then some random person, like my greatest example.
Well, look at this chick, that hot Tui girl.
Yeah, right. Like what? She's literally now making millions on a podcast because she said Hawk Tua. Like I don't.
Right.
And like to me, good for you. If that's going on and you randomly blew up, good for you. But also at the same point, it's like I wish you had to work for it to see where everyone else who isn't in your position is coming from because it has taken so much hard work and dedication and a certain mindset to get there. And when someone random, like my greatest, I think I was honestly, I will admit that I was a little jealous of her, but.
Of course, because again, listen, they randomly interviewed her, and talked
Right.
about, we'll talk about blowjob, right? Whatever.
Right.
And she said something ridiculous.
While
And,
she's drunk, she probably didn't even know she was saying that either. She just came from a bar. She's probably drunk. She just randomly said it, and now she's this like phenomenon. Like
Right.
I.
Because I literally, she's done doing a riot for me to say that to you. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, she sang the national anthem. I mean, they got killed for it, but she sang the national anthem at the Mets game. I mean, what? You know, and again, it caused a lot of controversy, but at the end, controversy is good. So
Any type
all
of
the
controversy is good, but also she's now making hundreds of thousands of dollars because she said one thing. So it's like, no, she never really had to work for it. But honestly, now that she capitalized on all that and she saw the, I mean, I'm pretty sure she got a manager like 2 days after she
Right.
said that and that blew up. But I mean, good on her for capitalizing on it and realizing the potential and the money that was in it. But like, why can't I go out and say that and I blow up? Where's my chance?
Well, again, now are we the same people that watch us on social media and be like, why the fuck it ain't, why isn't that me? Do we now
Well,
become
true,
that person?
yes. But I think the difference between us and those people is that I appreciate her dedication to making it work and making something out of it.
Right.
Obviously, I wish like I could say something as stupid as Hawk Tua. But and blow up for it. But the people that are just haters, they don't understand it and they'll never be like, oh, I understand why she did it and why now she's making hundreds of thousands of dollars, so good on her. Like they would never be like that. They're just like, why is it her? Why can't I be making $100,000? Where's my chance? Yeah, sure, we didn't all have the chance to say Octua in a microphone out of a bar, but we do all
Would
have a
you
chance to say.
even say Hatua if somebody
No, I just like. I'm not embarrassing myself on camera for some views. Like, that's
right.
not what I'm gonna do. I've never been
Right.
like that. But obviously, when she, I mean, she was probably a normal girl before, so she wasn't thinking
Well,
this
of course
was
she
gonna blow up
was.
at all. Right.
Of
And then
course
she
she
blows
was.
up and she's like, well, shit, let me do something with this while I still can.
Right. So even if again, even if it's 15 minutes, whatever it is, and a year from now, people are like, what's that? Oh, yeah, I remember that. She's made X amount of money. She's
Right.
already, way ahead in life that she ever probably would have been. So crazy. But I'm just saying that's why I was curious to see what your thoughts are, because you're somebody who's put the work in. Again, when I started, we didn't, you would make a movie. It would either get a theatrical release or go to Blockbuster. And that was it. If you didn't get picked up, nobody saw your shit. Now, I mean, there's so many different platforms. Even now, if again, you could be on 50 different. A couple of my films, Ari, I couldn't. If you say I'll give you $1 million to give you every plat, to give you every platform my films are on, I couldn't. But the point is, even if you didn't get a distribution deal, you could put it on YouTube. You could put it on Vimeo. You can, showcase whatever you want to do. I mean, so A, the good part is you could still get your work out there more than you ever could, but in the same token, so could 50 million other people. So that's the yin to the yang. So yeah, I mean, like I said, I go with it. I don't agree with it, but again, it's either you go or change, or you get run over by it. So yeah, but again, I was just curious on what you thought about that, because that's, she's the prime example, for someone like you. It's like, what? She
Or
said
another
what?
example is Charli D'Amelio. She made a dancing TikTok and then everyone's like, oh, she's so hot. Don't ask me about that one. And then blew up from there. And now she's literally making, she bought her own $3 million house at the age of 19.
I'll
Like,
do you one better. I'll do you one better. And then we'll get into how we can find you and do all these different things. But right before COVID, we were going to do a doc called YouTube Famous, right? And it was, collectively, the five people we were going to do the documentary on had about 50 million followers on YouTube. So again, we liked it because it had a built-in audience already, right? So even if you monetize that and 2% of the people watched it. So anyhow, we went to, I'm not even gonna say his name because he just basically was in the press for something stupid again, and he's made a sick ton of money. But his thing was he was 15, right? And he used to do bottle flipping, whatever. That's how he got started, right? So, we went to his house or whatever. He was almost like, when he went past the school, elementary schools, they're like, oh my God, I'll say his first name, Jack, Jack. And I'm like, really? I couldn't get the whole concept. To this date, I mean, we follow each other on Instagram, and I follow him, and his brother follow we follow him too. I've seen the things over the years on what he's done, what his things are, his shtick is, or whatever. No, it never got better. It's just zero talent. Zero. And the guy, just he had gotten to an accident or something, and whatever happened, it was $200,000 car. But again, this is what it's crazy. It's just it blows my mind. That's all. But like I
Yeah,
said,
close mine too.
so again, maybe instead of being creative, I just have to think of fucking something overly retarded.
Stupid,
Well,
yeah, exactly.
and oh, I should say mentally challenged. But and then maybe I'll jump off a roof or something, whatever, and then snap my leg or something, and whatever. I gotta think of something,
Just be
but.
absolutely stupid and you'll probably make it.
Right, and just go to whatever. Forget the other stuff I've been doing. But like I said
Right.
earlier, a lot of these people that listen, a lot of them are in the entertainment field: entrepreneurs, entertainment, singers, actors, models, makeup artists, hairstylists, the whole gamut. What would you say to them if they were at a crossroad where nothing's happening, and they're ready to say, you know what, screw it, I'm done. What would you tell them as your words of wisdom?
I'm kind of at that place now because the strike and COVID and all that stuff. And my mentality is it only takes one job and you can make it. I mean, I know it's happened to a lot of my friends. And if, for example, McKenna Grace, she hit one job on Gifted and she is in every movie that has a younger girl in it or a flashback scene. So it only takes one. And once you get that one, you will probably make it. Obviously, it takes what the one is, but yeah, I think keep pushing until you find that. And I've never been someone who gives up easily, and I don't think anyone else should be either, because once you have a dream and you want to pursue that dream, you're gonna do anything to get it. And I've realized that with all my friends in the industry and everyone I've kind of been around in college, when you want something, you're gonna go get it, and you kind of have to have that mentality and just realize that there is something out there made for you. There's a certain job made for you, and you will find that, and it will find you. And once you do, you will be set.
There you go. And like I said, my famous saying is always, if you dream, dream out loud, right? And make it happen. Don't talk shit, create shit, right?
Right.
So how do we find you on Instagram, or you know what, on any of your handles? How do we find you? If whoever's listening that wants to reach out and follow you, how do they get you?
Yeah, so my Instagram is Shay Smolik, Shaesmolik. My TikTok is also Shay Smolik. My YouTube is also Shay Smolik. And I think that's the
It's
three
always the
social
best way,
media
your
I have.
name.
Right, yeah.
Is there anything on the horizon for you, Shay?
Yeah, so I just got back from New York Fashion Week. And then I'm actually on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, as in 2 days, I am going to Atlanta Fashion Week. And then I'm going to Miami Swim Week. So more modeling stuff right now. I just did a couple auditions for like Legally Blonde. I did one for that because they're making a prequel to that. But yeah, just more auditions. I just recorded a song and I'm gonna film a music video to that coming up. So yeah, very busy couple of next weeks, but we'll get through it. I always do. So
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm excited about, sharing this podcast with everybody and dropping it. So once again, everybody, thank you so much for making us a top five podcast on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And again, it's not because of me rambling. It's because I have amazing listeners and amazing guests like Shay. So listen, if you dream, like we said, dream out loud. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Believe. Let's hear for Shay Smolik. Listen, very inspirational. Thank you for sharing your story. Again, very interesting because, like I said, we don't get too many people that started as young as you. I appreciate that as well. And if you're listening out there, this will be dropping in about 2 weeks. If you dream, dream out loud. We'll see you next week.
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Screw the Clout. Join us next week for our next amazing guest.